We do a chabura in Orota Tshuva, Rav Kook's writings on Tshuva, and for me, as the one learning the material, it's a lot easier because there's a lot of commentary, there's a lot of perushim, there's a lot of explanations, English, Hebrew, Israeli, everything, and so there's a lot to look to in order to figure out what is going on. I didn't know what I was getting myself into when I decided to do this piece. This is from Rav Kook's letters, not that he wrote even to think to be published. This, I think, was just to his son, and it's not meant to be easily unpacked, easily understood. Rabbi Nachbar gave me the book. I didn't have the book. And so I guess, just like the Gemara says, Nichnas Yayin Yatzah So, that when we drink wine, we don't know what's going to come out. So we're going to jump into this chibur. I don't know exactly how it's going to come out, but we'll do our best. So I want to begin with kind of just an overview, a little bit of Rav Kook, kind of in his philosophy on Purim, and then we'll get into hopefully a specific piece, one of two that he wrote about Purim. One of the mitzvot on Purim that is very hard to understand is the mitzvah to drink. Mikra Megillah is very logical. You know, read the story in order to remember the story, in order to thank God for what happened. The mitzvah Mishloach Mano, you know, to create achdut, which is something that we found in the Purim story, Matanah Levyonim. But the real mitzvah, I guess, that seems to give Purim its unique character is the mitzvah to drink. And it's baffling. It's so baffling that the Mefarshei HaGemara, and as well as the Poskimer, you know, split us in many ways as to what exactly this means. Is it sleeping? Is it drinking? How much drinking? And it's very hard to figure out what it is. And so because of that, it begs a little bit of... Begs a little bit of an investigation as to what it's all about. Rav Kook himself on Purim. Let's just look at these two English. These are just accountings of Rav Kook on Purim. Twice during the year, the Rav Kook revealed himself in all of his greatness on Purim and on the night of Shavuos. This is from his secretary. It's not easy to describe in writing Purim in the court of the Rav. He was so rich in spirituality. And there was 2 days a year that he didn't hold back. He didn't, act in his normal way. He didn't share Torah in his normal way. He gave something more of himself. And this is from the Nazir of Yerushalayim, Rav David Cohen. He says in the next paragraph, I would enter to visit the Rav Kook every day. And when the days of Purim arrived, the number of visitors increased, and I did not want to be pressed among them. Afterwards, the Rav commented on that I did not come on Purim. He added, on Purim, I say unique things that I am not accustomed to say throughout the entire year. So Rav Kook very much embodied this idea that Purim is a unique day. It's a unique day where we share things and say things, teach things that don't come out the rest of the year. And the question is why? What is it about Purim that brings this out in us? What is it bringing out in us? The Gemara in Chulin, which we've maybe heard before, seeks a lot of hints in the Torah as to where various characters in the Purim story are found. Not sources, but hints. And the one for Haman is as follows. The Gemara says, Haman min haTorah minayin. Where do I know that Haman is found in the Torah? What's the hint for Haman in the Torah? So in Bereishit it says, Hamin haEitz, right? When the story of Adam and Chav and eating the tree. So Haman is found in that story, that Hamin ha'etz, from this tree. And so the question is, like, what is the connection between that story, the story of Adam and Chava, the story of the sin of Adam and Chava, and possibly this idea of Haman and the Purim story? How are those two stories connected? So we're going to first do one little piece of Rav Kook to kind of maybe show what unites those, the story of Purim and this idea of Adam and Chava and their sin, and hopefully then move on to his ma'amar on drinking on Purim. Says Rav Kook, Ani, this is in Shmona Kvatzim, a series of his letters. Says Rav Kook, Ani betoch hagola, I am amidst exile. Ha'ani, ha'pnimi ha'atzmi, the essential inner I. Not just I'm in exile, meaning a technical exile where I live in Florida or I live outside of Israel or I live in Israel but we have yet to have a galut. But I, my inner essence, is in some sort of exile. Both says Rav Kook, Shela yachid v'shela tzibur, me, as an individual, am exiled. My inner self has not fully been revealed, galut. But also the community. We as a Jewish people are still in a state of exile because our full essence has yet to come out. Eino mitkale betochiyoto. Rak. It's not something that's going to be revealed on its own. Rak lefi erech hakadusha v'atara shelo. Only the holiness and the purity of the, I think, of the nation and of the individual, to the extent which we are able to mimic the purity and the holiness of our own soul or of our national soul. So that's the extent to which it's going to be revealed, right? Let's just talk about myself and then maybe the community. If I, my body and my physical actions don't in any way reflect the purity and the neshama that is within me, so then what's possible to be revealed, what is inside of me will just remain closed. It'll remain something which is hidden. And I won't ever fulfill, I guess, my tafkid, which is to reveal the godliness inside of me. But so long as I actually strive to act in a way of Tara and Kedusha, and it reflects that inner essence that I have, so I'm ultimately able to fulfill that tafkid and be revealed. And this isn't just something which is on an individual level, but also on a communal level, right? If we as a Jew, as an Am Yisrael, as a Jewish people, as a Medinat Yisrael, are kind of being not reflecting the Kedusha that we are in the way that we act, in the way that we publicize ourselves, in the way that we grow, in the way that we strive, so then there's something missing. And says Rav Kook, Lefi Erech HaGvura HaAlyona HaSvuga Me'ora HaTohora Shel Ziv Ma'ala Shehi Mitlahevet B'Kirgo. We have this incredible light that is Mitlahevet B'Kirgo, that is kind of fuming fiery inside of us. Chatanu Im Avotenu, but we and our forefathers sin. And this is the chait of Adam HaRishon. What was the chait of Adam HaRishon? Adam HaRishon had an... What?
Listening to
Chava. Oi, Joey, oi. The chait of Adam HaRishon was that, says Rav Kook, Shenit Naker Li'atz Mioto. He was alienated from himself. He was built with a proper conscience. He was built with a godliness that his intuition would be able to steer him in the right way. But what happened? He was alienated from that. He moved away from his own intuition. Why? Shepina l'daito shanachash. He took the advice of the snake. Right? The snake was something external. It doesn't have the same godly intuition. It doesn't have the neshama. And he listened to the snake, and then that pulled him away from his own inner essence. So what we're saying is that there's a possibility every person have and every action that they take, be able to reveal that inner essence, that neshama, that godliness that they have in them. But in listening to the Nachash, Adam like forgave that. He, I guess, went away from that and decided to listen to something totally external. V'avad et atzmo, and in that he lost himself. He totally discounted that which is him. Lo yada lahashiv tshuva brura al sha'alat ayeka. When Hashem asks him, "Where are you, ayeka? Where are you?" So he has nothing to say, because the I in him, the real him, the godliness in him, is something that had been removed, put aside. Nimesh lo yada nafsho, because he wasn't able to know or to follow this intuition. Mibnei ha'aniyut, the I-ness, hamitich nebda mimenu, this true I-ness was lost from him, b'chet ha'ishtachava le'elzar, to a foreign god. He bowed to a foreign god. So what Kook is saying here is that there's something that, there's a chet that happened, and that chet has been continually, propelled throughout all of Jewish history. That instead of finding, listening to, and acting on the inner essence we have inside of us as an individual and as a community, what we've done is we've looked at foreign influences, other desires, other voices and messages that kind of come into our world, followed those, and in the process stopped up and held back what we're able to be and what we're able to do. The I, the neshama, the godliness inside of us, is something that has not been revealed because we've strayed away from it. So, and may I skip the second paragraph here. He just talks about how educators are missing the mark, so I'm not going to indict myself. Educators certainly need to focus on this inner eye and not focus on the chitzoniyut. And what it's about is bringing out the godliness in each child, and anything else is something which is missing the mark. Says Rav Kook in the last paragraph here, or my last paragraph of his work, Ruach HaPeinu, who Hashem is the breath of our nostrils. He has something that is really inside of us, very deep inside of us. Et Hashem Elokeinu v'David Malkeinu nevakesh. We are seeking godliness. We are seeking Mashiach, David our king. El Hashem el tovo nifached. And it's Hashem and His goodness that we should be afraid of. Et ha'ani shalanu nevakesh. In seeking Mashiach, in wanting godliness, in wanting a ge'ula, what are we really looking for? To reveal the inner eye that we have inside of us. Et atzmeinu nevakesh v'nimtza. We hope to seek it, and we hope that it's found. And in process, hasar kol elokei nechar, to remove all external godly influences. Hasar kol zal mamzer, to remove all strangers, foreign beings, and mamzer from us. And ultimately, what that'll happen, v'yadatum ki ani Hashem elokeichem, will ultimately know God. That is what ke'ula will be. Hamotzi yadchem mi'eretz Mitzrayim liot lachem elokeim ani Hashem. We're ultimately going to find our way out of galut into ge'ula. Meeting God, meaning fully revealing the godliness inside of us and the godliness of us as a community. So, I guess what I meant to do in this summary was just to provide a framework. That Rav Kook believes, as it's not Rav Kook, but he's describing this idea that there's a godliness inside of us, there's a neshama inside of us, and what we're striving to do our entire lives is let that come out. And to the extent that we do let that come out, so we move towards Geula, And we get closer to godliness. To the extent that we, or Am Yisrael as a whole, get sidetracked by foreign influences, by other messages, by things which are not according to the token, the inner essence that we have. So we slow down. We maybe put stumbling blocks in the road to Geula. And now we get to Purim. Because ultimately, if you think about this mitzvah that we're gonna to drink. That there's something in us, nichnas yayin yatsa sod, that there's something, part of our inner essence that's supposed to come out. Okay? And we could already see where we're going with this, that for Rav Kook, this inner essence coming out is a very important tafkid for life, and it therefore can be an important aspect of the mitzvah of drinking on Purim. We'll start with the Gemara and Megillah on the bottom here. The Gemara says, Amar Rava, b'mchayev inish l'vesumi b'puria ad lo yada min arman on the Baruch Mordechai. Rava says we have an obligation, a person has an obligation to intoxicate themselves on Purim until they do not know the difference between Haman, the cursed Haman and the blessed Mordechai. So this is the obligation. What is this obligation? What does it mean to us? What are we supposed to accomplish? And how does it connect with me, with Am Yisrael, and with Geula? That's what we're going to do right now. Ready? Okay. All right, so Rav Kook begins. This is Igeret HaPurim. It's the first of two pieces he has on Purim in a book called Ma'amarei Ra'aya, just a random collection of his letters. And this is on the second page. In the middle, it says Igeret HaPurim. Nechnas yayin yatsa sod. When wine comes in, the secrets come out. Uma'od anu tzrichim b'chayenu. We very much need to in our lives. We are in need of the following in our lives. That what? Shesodot hane'elamim yatsu v'yitgalu. That these secrets that are hidden come out and are revealed. The sod that is hidden, we would like to it to nichnas, we would like it to come out. Al yidei, how? Al yidei giluim shalasodot nakirat atzmenu. Through revealing these secrets, we will ultimately come to recognize ourselves. The more secrets that we have inside of us, the more that they come out, the more that we know ourselves. We know this, unfortunately, in a relationship, in a marriage, certainly, that, you know, the more that is revealed, the more you learn, not just your spouse learns about you, but you learn about yourself. And sometimes that's negative, sometimes that's positive. But says Rav Kook, what we're trying to do in our lives, what we need, what we want, is that secrets come out, and in that process of the secrets being revealed, we understand ourselves a lot better. Nakir et masha chavui bikarbeinu. And therefore we know, we come to understand and recognize that which is entrenched and hidden inside of us. So there's parts of us, there's aspects of our personality, there's drives that we have, there's thoughts that are in us, but yet, because we don't focus on revealing these secrets, so we don't fully understand ourselves. There's a whole aspect of ourselves that we don't know. And as long as we remain kind of closed and these secrets remain something hidden, so we kind of can live our whole lives without fully understanding who we are and what we're all about. And b'shasha anachnu navo la'ota b'china shel l'vsumi ad lo yada, and at the moment that we come to this level of being drunk to the point that we don't understand, meaning until we intoxicate ourselves so much, and what will happen when we intoxicate ourselves so much? Niftar lefachot, the Shah, we're going to come, I guess, be removed for even a moment. Mikol otan ha'idiyot ha'mat'ot otanu ha'malichot otanu k'shvuyim ve'en livdot. Says Rav Kook, niftar lefachot l'sha'a, we're going to remove ourselves from all of these pieces of knowledge, all of these messages that mat'ot otanu, that make us mistaken, that mislead us, and ha'malichot otanu, and that kind of guide us like shvuyim ve'en livdot, like captives that aren't able to be redeemed. So what Rav Kook is saying is that what does it mean to be intoxicated on Purim? What does it mean to get to a place of ad lo yada? It means that we are going to finally reveal all of the secrets that have been holding, that have been held up inside of us. We're going to, instead of being, I guess, ki'ilu drunk all year from all the messages that are moving us in the directions we don't want to be, now we're not going to have any knowledge of, we're not going to be succumbed to, we're not going to be, I guess, motivated by those messages. We're going to be totally free from them. And only once a year do we have that opportunity. Because during the year, we are in the world, and whether we are on TV or on Twitter or on Facebook or on none of that, but talking to people and just in the world around us, so all these messages kind of almost make us drunk, give us a sense that we're inhibited, we don't know how to act, we don't know how to decide, we can't choose for ourselves. And Purim is the day where we now want to be above all of that. It's the day where we separate ourselves, even for just a moment, and intoxicate ourselves ad lo yada, so that we don't know anything. We're not influenced at all by all of these things. And you could say this personally, and you could also say this nationally. Meaning, there's a lot of messages out there of what we should be, and the entire year we're fighting a lot of those thoughts and a lot of those messages. And on Purim, we say, I don't want anything to do with those. I want to be above all of that. All year, I have trouble deciding and keeping myself on the right path. Purim, I want to really reveal my inner essence so that nothing is moving me except for me. Nichnas Yayin Yatzah Sod. And on Purim, individually, that's something that, you know, can't happen. Not only individually, but also maybe nationally, right? There's a lot of people who are telling us, the news tells us, what the state of Israel should be, what the Jewish people should be, what we are, what we're in the world to do. But the only people who really know what we are in the world for is us, is our Torah, is Hashem. And so on Purim, we kind of rid ourselves of all of the different things that we as a Jewish people, or we as a state of Israel, kind of are as a destiny, are told that we're supposed to accomplish, that we're supposed to, the identity we're supposed to take, and we try to be free and reveal what is really supposed to be, which is our own essence, finding our own essence as Am Yisrael. Thoughts, questions?
That sounds very contradictory.
Yeah, what do you mean?
When you drink, you don't come out as a better person. You usually come out as a worse person.
Right.
So if that's yourself, I don't want to see myself.
Huh? I mean, it sounds very... Where we want to be, we're confusing that eye of now, and it's very difficult to separate the eye from the iPhone and that. And you're saying to that next level,
right,
of Kedusha, of where the eye is,
Right, sure. If you get absolutely inebriated to the point where you don't remember what happened the next day, that's...
You just said that's exactly, you don't recognize that's what I'm thinking. From Molokai.
Right, so...
That's pretty...
Right, so, again, I guess we have to, in order to kind of understand this, we have to almost remove it from the shot a little bit. Technically speaking, to not know the difference between those two things, you might have to be so inebriated that you fall on your face and you pass out. Okay. So what he's describing, though...
Or
sleeping.
Literally, the Gemara that tells us that we bless good things as well as bad. So you can see the hand of God in humble. You don't even need to get drunk to do that.
Right. Right, and then the Tifo Shalom has like a piece like that, right, where he kind of says that maybe if we could see the good and the bad, you know, then we're kind of experiencing that. But I think what Cook means to say is that all we, what we want to do is reveal inner essence. And to Yayin, the Gemara says, brings out something inside of us that doesn't come out maybe in any other way.
Is it only Purim or all year long?
So in theory, I guess, if you were to every day in the morning get up and drink some wine and reveal some soda and reveal your inner essence, then maybe you'd be doing that. But probably there's reasons why we don't prescribe this every single day of the year. But certainly what we're trying to do is reveal that soda, reveal the godliness inside of us, that once a year we say, I want to come out. I don't want to be the subject and the product of everything else around me pushing me to be me. I want to be me just as me. And so Yayin is almost symbolic as to what it does is brings out the soul. It's symbolic of that idea that it brings out our secrets. So too, that's what we're trying to do in general. But on Purim, we really emphasize that through this mitzvah.
Yes. We have another one.
I just want to say...
It's okay.
Wow.
The
whole idea of Nichnas Yayin Yatzah Sod is because the gematria of Yayin and Sod are the same. It's not like a medical thing, Nichnas Yayin Yatzah Sod. So we're basing this whole thing on, oh, if you drink wine, your inner thing. But I like more Rabbi Weinstock's idea that maybe if you think a little bit about it, I mean, it sounds beautiful in metaphor, but in practical, like you said, you're going to start drinking, who knows what's going to come out.
Yeah.
I like more the idea of if you start thinking about your inner self and you start thinking about the good and the bad and the bad and the good, I don't think you need the actual yin, the actual intoxication. Maybe the relaxing, maybe the actual understanding of how it works to get it. But if you get yourself drunk to the point...
Yeah, no, I don't... Again, no, you're right. First of all, we are making an assumption. And that Rav Kook is reading that Gemara as... Something comes out when you drink. So he's definitely reading like that, and this is all based on that. But that being said, I don't think what he's saying is that in actuality, the only way to reveal your inner essence on Purim is to get incredibly drunk. He's saying that the reason why we have this mitzvah is because we are trying to, just like Yayin, reveal something inside of us that doesn't normally get real. Just like that is the case. Okay, that assumption, but fine. Just like that is the case. So that is something that our whole lives we're trying to do. But one day a year, we focus on that. So really, I would say, I mean, Rav Kook's not saying this, but I'm saying this, that if you want to tap into Rav Kook's saying, so even if you don't drink, but you really understand that the day of Purim is an avoda of unleashing your inner essence, finding the godliness inside of you, And figuring out what that is and trying to figure out what the external things are, moving them away and trying to let that come out of you and think about what that is for the national destiny of the Jewish people as well, so then you're on the right track. Almost with or without the yayin.
So what is Rav Kook trying to tell us about what the national imperative is? What are we as a... Okay, individually I get it. The inner, the outer, the
real. Right, right.
As a nation, what are we...
Okay, so let's wait to the next paragraph. He's going to address that in the next paragraph. So, says Rav Kook, and he's quoting this Gemara. He says in the second paragraph, he says, Havla mapik havla. This Gemara is talking about the halachos of what to say in a bathroom. But Rav Kook's using it that hot air or heat or maybe sweat... Mapik displaces heat. Meaning, why do we sweat? We sweat because people go to, I mean, I never done this, but in theory, you go to like a, you know, a schwitz to like cleanse yourself a little bit.
Well,
now there's, release, oh, there you go, thank you. Okay, well, I don't know, I'm with Monica, that makes sense here. We're trying to cleanse ourselves and release some toxins, the toxins being the everything else around us, and the and we're trying to displace that. Havla mapik havla. Uvesuma mapik besuma. He's kind of playing on this. Drinking removes intoxication. Meaning, we are, this is totally backwards, this is, we are drunk all year. What? Right, so all year we're kind of drunk, so to speak. But you wanna get out of the drunkenness, then you gotta drink a little bit. In order to not be like in this, you know, boxy kind of influenced lifestyle, then what you do is you need drinking in order to, drinking is supposed to get you out of your drunkenness, your year-round drunkenness. Purim, drinking gets you out of that, and it gets you sober. So what's the mitzvah? To get sober by drinking. So says Rav Kook, uvesumim anachnu, he'll explain this. We are drunk, in general, throughout the year. Yoter midai, way too much, midimyonot chitzoniim. From dimyonot? And a kind of external imagination. Foreign thoughts. Uvishyokach, and because of this, ein anu margishim et ha'amitiyut ha'pnimiyut shelanu. Therefore, we don't feel this inner truth, et ha'sod ha'emet, the truthful secret. Because we have all of these other things going on, so we have trouble getting in touch with our own sod. Svura manachnu, what do we think? Shebechach matenu, in our wisdom, uvapichot hapichim, and in the wisdom of the wise, shebanu, that are amongst us, banu ad halom, that we have come halom to this point. Now he gets about national. You can think, we normally think, that you know why we have a state of Israel? You know we've gotten to this point in Jewish destiny? Because we were smart. Because we were motivated. Because we had a lot of really good ideas and a lot of ferocious leaders, and it's all true. I mean, the Shtadlus has been unbelievable, and that is a big part of it. But he says it's not because of our wisdom and our intellect and the wisdom of our wise that have brought us to this moment. Liot lanu al kopanim yateid v'gader b'Yehuda. He's referencing the pasuk in Ezra here, that we've now become a peg in Judah. We've become a stick in the mud. We have become a permanent, or hopefully one day permanent, but temporary stick in the land of Israel. Ezra says he's thanking God almost. I want to get the pasuk. I don't have it here, but I think he's thanking God for bringing everyone back to the land of Israel and saying that hopefully this is like a temporary root in what ultimately will become Geula. And so says Rav Kook, we are now, this is like in 1935 or so, we are now a stick in the mud of Yehuda. We are now in Eretz Yisrael. We are here. We are getting there. And it's not because, though, because we have done anything unbelievable. Hit chalta kol shehi lit chalta deit chalta legeula. What are we ultimately at? We are at the beginning of the beginning of the beginning of the beginning of Geula. In other words, and this I had to really think a lot about and look around, because this was hard to understand. What does he mean that we're the beginning of the beginning of the beginning of the Geula nationally? He means that as far as what Am Yisrael possesses, we're there. We've got everything. We are the godly nation. We all have neshamot. We share a greater worldly mission. We are holy. We are Am Kadosh. We are Orlagoim. We are there. What are we missing, though? In terms of that being fully revealed, we are a long ways away. In terms of the Nichnas Yayin Yatza Sod, in terms of the Sod of Am Yisrael coming out, we are still at the very beginning of the beginning of the beginning of the beginning of the redemption. Now, why is that? Because, I think, and you know, I hear your thoughts on this as well, Because there's still so many things that are then in 1935 and maybe also today in Medinat Yisrael that are a function not maybe of what Am Yisrael should ultimately be or not what our ultimately tafkid as a Jewish nation is, but because other nations are pressuring us or wanting us or encouraging us to make certain decisions about the politics, about the government, about the education, about all different kinds of things that are Medinat Yisrael. And as long as those other things are almost pushing us to create our identity, so we're still a long way from the full revelation of the inner essence of what Am Yisrael is supposed to be. Right? So that's what he means nationally. That even the Jewish state or Am Yisrael, we're also kind of drunk. We're kind of drunk because we're forming many parts of our identity still. Hopefully it's less and less, I hope. But our identity based on the external and not on the internal panimi guideposts that we have. What do you mean?
We're diluted.
Meaning?
Impure.
Right. Diluted.
Impure.
Maybe stopped. The purity stopped up. Yeah, diluted.
Well, also, this was written before the State of Israel came into existence, so there was a lot going on in terms of what the future form of the state was going to be. They didn't even know what they were going to call it in 1935.
Right.
I mean, there were so many different yeshuvim and so many different settlements and philosophies. So
right.
They really right. were at the very, very
trying
very
to figure
beginning.
It out. Right. And I think that's what he means when he says that it's not our wisdom or our wise people that have made these decisions. He means that as long as we think that Israel is just something that we made in order to be a refugee for the people who need it, it's true, it is that, or it's just so that we Jewish people can have a stage in the League of Nations and that we could be in the UN and that we could have a say, if it's just about that, then it becomes not even about God. It's just about us and wanting to kind of accomplish certain separate goals. But we forget that who's the one who really got us here, and he's going to say this explicitly in a moment, is Hashem. And realizing that, understanding that, and letting that come into this process of Medinat Yisrael is ultimately revealing its inner essence. Because, Mother, we don't realize that aspect of it. This is a godly, divine destiny that's unfolding in front of us. And therefore, what does that mean for what we're trying to create? So then we slow down, we stop up what it is that ultimately it could be. And says Rav Kook in the third to last line of this paragraph, "V'anu shochachim, we forget that lula yad Hashem ba'al milchamot zereyat zarekot matzmiach yeshuot lo hayu kol ma'palotenu pa'ulot me'uma." We forget that without the hand of Hashem, as we say this in Davin, the ba'al milchamot, the master of war, zereyat zarekot, the planting of righteousness, matzmiach yeshuot, and the, I guess, flowering of redemption, the flower of redemption. Lo hayu kol mepa'alotenu pa'ulot me'uma. None of these actions would have gained any traction. They wouldn't have succeeded. So if you think that it's just about you, you're forgetting that what's really driving this whole engine is the collective neshama, is Hashem. And as if you realize that, if you tap into that, then we start to flower. We start to get geula. We start to have Mashiach. We start to really encroach on this process. And it's ultimately not us. It's ultimately Hashem. And that realization is an important element of the geula process. So we should say, maybe when you say Tefillah L'Shlom HaMedina, we should say, instead of Reshit Smichat Gulatenu, we should say Reshit Smichat Gulatenu. Certainly we've undergone a lot of stages, but there's in terms of revealing the inner essence of what it's supposed to be, we're still a long ways away. Mir Hashem, it should go fast. And he says, Shochachim anu shayar hasodita zot, this secret hand, this zoti kol amifal, the entire action that is this destiny is Hashem. Again, Rav Kook isn't saying this, but I mean, there's another connection to Purim, right? What's the whole Chab of Purim? Hashem's not in the Megillah, but he's in the Megillah. He's behind the scenes. So maybe what's part of the Avodah of Purim, which connects to all of this, that revealing that if you think it's all the decisions of Mordechai and Esther and the way Ahasuerus did this and the way this was a coincidence, you're missing something huge. Hashem was in every single step. So Purim, it makes sense, is a holiday where we're revealing the inner essence not only of ourselves, but our national destiny, historical inner essence. That's what Purim's about.
That takes place in Galut.
So
there's a double message there.
Right.
That, I don't know if Rav Kook picks up on it or deals with it.
Does deal with it, right? Right.
The holiday that takes place in Galut, we're celebrating that we survived outside of Galut. But what is...
Right. So certainly, I mean, Rav Hirsch speaks about this a lot, that Hanukkah and Purim being our two holidays in Galut are both about bringing light to what would seemingly be a dark exile. And a dark exile meaning a godless exile. In theory, you could say we're here. Where's God? He's nowhere to be found. We're stuck in the muck and nothing's happening. Or you could say God's here, Shechina B'Galuta. He's right here with us. And he's encouraging us, moving us, helping us grow, helping us develop. And Hanukkah and Purim both trying to give us that similar kind of message. Although Purim, that it has to do maybe with the story itself in a more direct way. But yeah, that definitely is a double message. Being in Galut as well as Hashem not being in the story and trying to reveal that inner essence of Hashem in history. Oh, Monica, very good. You're doing this next time.
Thank you. Sorry.
So he says, Shechurim anachnu mi bisumim sheyesh bahem kedei hatiya. And so therefore in the last line here he says, we're drunk, we are intoxicated from all the intoxicants that lead us astray and make us think that it's not Hashem. Uvishokach einanu samim el libenu, and for that reason we don't pay attention to our heart et cheshbono shel olam hagadol, the cheshbon of the olam hagadol. We don't pay attention to the big world. So what's the little world and what's the big world? So little world is me. Big world is the national, historical, destiny, Mashiach, Geula world. So because we don't focus on Hashem, it causes us to not see the kind of godly unfolding in this process, right? Both from a secular perspective, that the state of Israel has nothing to do with God. It's just a practical, it could have been in Uganda, but, we just have it here instead. But also from a even more, to the right perspective, that this process isn't something that ultimately God is trying to direct, or something that God wants as a part of our destiny. But Rav Kook obviously believes is that the Olam HaGadol, if you really pay attention to the Olam HaGadol, you'll see the unfolding of godliness in this whole process. And says Rav Kook, Shal Oto HaOlam, and this world, this big world, Shal Adon Olam Manhigo, that the Hashem is leading it, Vanachnu Yeshlanu Amo Brit Kruta Ba'ala Ovishvua, and that he has with his people, meaning us, a covenant, a promise that is sealed in a oath, Allah Shvua, I guess they're both in an oath, a Brit Melech Olam, a permanent covenant of salt. Right, in Bamidbar in Perek Yilched, the Pesukim talk about a Brit Melach. Rashi says that salt makes something last. So being a Brit Melach is a Brit that is forever. So Rav Kook says we have this Brit Melach, we have this Shavua that he's made with us, and because of that, how could we not think that Hashem, if the Brit says I'm going to bring you back to Israel, and if the Brit says that I'm going to ultimately unfold these events for you, and you're seeing it in front of you, Hashem promised that. So if he promised it, then obviously it's happening. So Hashomer al Ruach Yisrael v'nitzcho, and that is what that is, the containment of the spirit of the Jewish people and its eternality. So let's just sum up what we've said. We're not going to finish this piece. We'll just maybe say a few more things. What we've said so far is that there's an inner eye. The inner eye is godliness. That godliness exists in my own soul, in my own neshama, but it also exists in the neshama of Klal Yisrael as a whole. And the Gemara says that sod comes out when you drink. Something inner comes out when a person drinks. And whether you're drinking or not, and I appreciate that hard, whether you're drinking or not, the avoda of Purim is to release, is to uncover that inner aspect of yourself, that godliness, that neshama. And so both, it stands that for us on Purim, we should sit down and we should think about, where have we been drunk the entire year? How have we been misled and we have not had our proper seichel that's been guiding us? We've been pushed around and moved around by all the other things. What? Yeah.
The same way Haman didn't see the power of what he had in Persia, and he only saw Mordecai sitting there, and he got pulled down. The same
right.
way Adam got
right.
pulled down and got eaten, and Haman got pulled down for his power, but he didn't see the goodness of the power.
That's beautiful. It's very nice. I want you to know that you are Machavin to Rav Soloveitchik. Soloveitchik in his Chumash says this exact idea. He says it in Breishis. I didn't see it inside. I just heard someone quote it in a shir. Right? Rav Soloveitchik says that's the connection between these two stories. That how could Haman care so much about this little Mordechai not bowing down to him? The one thing that he couldn't have, or just Mordechai not bowing down to him, he freaked out. Everyone else was loving him except for this one guy. And that ate him up. And Adam had the entire world, the one tree he couldn't. But for all of us, right, there's that forbidden fruit, that thing that we want the most.
But that's putting me in front of everything. That's putting that
right. Line. Right, very much so. Right, very much so. Very much so. If we're concerned about ourselves and we're not looking around, so then we'll go after our base desires and we'll let that just kind of drive everything that we do. But if we look around, realize what's really going on, seeing the, again, it's the bigger picture, the Olam HaGadol, the inner essence of what's going on in ourselves, meaning what we're really about, what we really want, but also what's around us that's godly, so then we wouldn't necessarily be stuck on those things. So very much, yeah. I haven't seen it inside, but Soloveitchik thinks about that. I guess I'll... You know, the next paragraph is, just in summary, he goes through other mitzvot that we have as the Jewish people that are always entrenched in us, that never get swayed. Talks about Brit Milah, talks about Shabbat, which are things that are kind of, you know, part of the essence of the Jewish people, that whether people recognize them or don't, or do them or don't, they kind of are a part of the inner essence, they express the inner essence that we have. I don't want to get into that right now, because it's really a whole share into itself in terms of what is it about that mitzvot to kind of reveal our inner essence and show the continual, I guess, nature of the connection with Hashem. I want to skip maybe to a few lines in the second in the last paragraph here and maybe relate this to, Kabbalah Satorah, the fact that we received the Torah on Purim, and then we'll read at the very bottom Rav Cook's bracha to us all on Purim. Just the first couple lines of this third paragraph. Rav Cook says, Yiyulanu Yimei Purim Abayim Aleinu Latova. These days of Purim should come upon us, that are coming upon us, that should be for good. Hayamim, these are the days, Asher Beratzon Kabalnu Aleinu Edzot HaTorah. These are the days, Chazal say, that Kima V'Kiblu, we accepted the Torah out of our own free will. Asher Mani Az Kiblanu Al Yidei Kfiat Har Kigigi, that before we had accepted the Torah because it was held like a barrel. The mountain was held like a barrel over our heads. And we had to accept the Torah. But on Purim, we said, no, we really want the Torah. And so, what is Rav Cook doing to connect it to that idea? What does it mean to accept the Torah from your own volition? If a person doesn't want to learn, probably it means they don't realize what Torah is about. Right? They don't realize what Torah could impact their life. They don't realize the depth of Torah. But when a person sees in a certain area of Torah that they really want to learn it, it's because in that area of Torah they've seen, I get what this is about. So what does it mean that the Jewish people accepted the Torah out of their own free will? So it means that they saw what Torah was about. They saw the inner essence, I'm going to suggest, the godliness that is in Torah. When Hashem's holding the mountain over your head, sorry, Steve, I haven't turned to you this whole time. When it's being held over your head, you don't have a choice. Whether you see the inner essence or not, So you have to keep the Torah. That's it. But when you accept it on your own volition, you see its inner essence. Oh, now I want to learn it. Now I want to keep it. Right? That's why there's an incredible strength of the Baal Tshuva. The Gemara speaks of the Baal Tshuva stands where no one else stands. The reason is maybe, if you say along the lines of this, they've accepted something that they didn't. They weren't forced. They wanted it. They saw its beauty and then ran with it. And that's an unbelievable thing. So, you know, I guess this the last piece that I want to say is that this also exists with Torah. That for all of us, and I know us who are here week in and week out, we've seen a beauty in this the Torah of Rav Kook, and we're really, you know, in a deeper and deeper way seeing maybe what Torah or Judaism has to offer through the learning of Rav Kook. But Rav Kook almost encourages all of us that whether you're drinking or not, Purim's a day to think about what is Judaism really all about? What is Torah really all about? And jumping in full force to that. We have accepted, the Torah has accepted it?
That's what it says in the Megillah.
Right. Right, so... Oh, so we have... Very good.
Rav Kook believes that our innocents are all very pure, and if we can get down to the base, it's all, we all want to do what's right anyway.
Right.
So I think the way I'm thinking of something is that the alcohol is to decrease our inhibitions, to allow that what's really in us, not
right.
Getting smashed and nasty things, but that real inner purity to come out. And that's one thing I think. And the other thing is we're, you know, all day long we're fighting, you know, making a living, working, doing
right.
What we do every day.
Right.
And we believe we're in charge and we're focused on that all the time. And there's one opportunity where we have to just like peel all that back.
Yes, yes.
We need to do that because that's the world we live in. But at the end of the day, maybe that's not the inner spiritual world. And
right.
We have an opportunity to cut right through all that.
Right. And I would add that...
I mean, that's a hard thing to do. And sometimes alcohol right. Can probably
right.
Help.
Right. And I would add that we're, you know, our lives are our lives, our parnasa is our parnasa, our family is our family, but there's an inner essence that could find its way fully in the lives that we live. And, you know, where am I swayed in this area of my life? Where am I, you know, other gods, other chitzoni, other things pulling me around? Where am I drunk and not living a life that's based on what I'm deciding in all areas of my life, and finding what the inner essence would be mean in that area of life. Certainly, that's the avoda. Again, you could do that by drinking a lot, or you could not drink a lot, and you could still accomplish this.
Well, that's what Purim is all about, is to reveal what is hidden.
Right.
So by peeling it aside, you're bringing out what's hidden beneath
right.
And revealing.
Right.
You know, unmasking things.
Right. Yeah, we spoke about in Hanukkah that Beit Hillel counts his candles 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, right? And we learned a letter of Rav Kook then. I don't know who was here. We learned that letter that closer and closer to Geula, we reveal more and more light that's inside of people. So ultimately, Geula is that the line fully shines. So that's exactly this. Although Hanukkah and Purim, that's where they have that similar theme, because we're in Galut, but we want to push ourselves to reveal more and more of that inner light, inner essence. We finally get there. That's what Geula is, and that's what we're striving for. So as this Hashem should bless us to have a Purim, whether we're drinking yayin or we're not drinking yayin, but that we really take the idea seriously and really think about our inner essence, the inner essence of the Jewish people as a whole, tap into that, realize what role that could play in our life, and hopefully reveal more and more light to bring us to Geula very soon.
Amen.
The bracha. He says, okay.